It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin is home to seven mental health support organizations called clubhouses. The clubhouse model of mental health support aims to include people with serious mental illness in our society and economy.
The model started in 1948 when former psychiatric patients in New York started meeting up to continue supporting each other. And since then, the movement has grown to include over 350 clubhouses in 32 countries, and that's according to the group Clubhouse International.
People with mental health challenges can become voluntary members at clubhouses and participate in social activities, employment training, and more. We'll hear now from two of Wisconsin's clubhouses. Kathy Ziegert is a clubhouse supervisor at Chrysalis in Madison, and Ben Holt is associate director of the Grand Avenue Club in Milwaukee. Ben, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having us.
And Kathy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Ben, can you give us the basics of the clubhouse model of mental health support? What makes it different?
So yeah, the clubhouse model of psychosocial rehabilitation, it's a specifically non-clinical model. There's about 340 or so clubhouses around the world in about 30 countries. There's five or so in Wisconsin. And it kind of focuses on employment, education, and enrichment. Like I said, it's non-clinical. Not that we have anything against clinical models. It's just kind of not what we do. And, you know, it helps folks go back to work, go back to school. And then enrichment is kind of a vague catch-all term. You know, a lot of folks with mental illness isolate, and having a sense of community and a social support system, it's hard to go back to work or school if you don't have kind of that support system in place. So there's a lot of, it's an engagement model. So just come here, get engaged in something. Everything's voluntary. You can kind of come and go as you want and work on whatever you want. But we have a ton of resources to help folks get back to work, go back to school, and then have, you know, kind of a better, more fulfilling life.
Kathy, can you talk about the members of a clubhouse organization? Who are they? Who's eligible? What do they do?
So the clubhouse model is for people who have experienced mental health challenges in the past, have a diagnosis of a mental illness. And so that's primarily who it's for. That can range based on clubhouse to clubhouse, but that's the primary folks.
And Kathy, I understand that in a clubhouse model, members are making a lot of the decisions, a lot of the management decisions. Can you talk about that part of the model?
Yeah, so the clubhouse model really is based on what we call consensus-based decision-making. And so that means that it not only means that we all agree all the time, but it means that we're willing to hear where we disagree and maybe come to some sort of in-between. It's not something that we vote, but it's kind of hearing where the disagreement is. And my mind might be convinced by someone else's thoughts or perspective on something. Part of the clubhouse is that members are involved in all aspects of the clubhouse. So from hiring new staff to being a part of budget decisions to the everyday things, to cleaning, to cooking. So that's part of what makes the model really unique.
That unique model, Ben, I think when a lot of people think of mental health care over the decades, the centuries, it's done for a mental health patient or on behalf of, or in the worst cases, to someone. Why is that an important part of the model that the members are making these decisions and so involved in the management?
It kind of removes that hierarchy. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with clinical models. When someone needs a doctor, they should go to a doctor. But there is a difference. You know, it's that patient-doctor. There's a big differentiation. As Kathy said, people here are involved in all the decision-making and operations of running a clubhouse. I mean, we have members on our board of directors, for example. So even at the highest levels of our organization, there's member input. They're on our committees. Anything from, you know, helping cook lunch to making decisions at a board level, there's a power of choice. You kind of buy in and, you know, we have resources available for whatever your personal goals are. And that buy-in is really, really powerful. It's a very different dynamic, and it's something we hear from members all the time.
And Kathy, a couple basic questions people might be wondering. Is there a literal buy-in? Is there a cost to participate in the clubhouse model?
No.
Okay. There,
it does vary. There's different, Grand Avenue Club is a little bit different than the Chrysalis Clubhouse as far as its funding model, but cost is usually covered and a little bit more complicated based on each clubhouse. But I know Grand Avenue has the doors wide open. We serve mainly Medicaid based people. So It varies a little bit, but there is no cost.
And typically a clubhouse is not a residential facility. Do I have that right?
Right. Despite the word house in the title, right? That's a common misperception, but people do not live here.
Yeah. So we're, you know, we're open 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We also have rec times on Wednesday evenings and Saturdays. A lot of people stop here before or after work. You know, some people show up once a day, once a week, once a month. It's really when you want to come and when you need stuff, we're here to support you. But no, there's no, we don't have any housing at the actual clubhouse. We help people find housing though. That is something we do quite a bit.
I want to hear from each of you what a typical day might look like at your outfit. Kathy, why don't you start us off? What does a day look like at Chrysalis?
Well, at Chrysalis Clubhouse, we're kind of on the smaller end of clubhouses. You know, like Ben said, there's 340-some clubhouses all over the world, and we're on the smaller spectrum, so I have about 12 people coming per day. And what we might do is start the day with, you know, what are some of the urgent needs that we need to do? We serve a lunch, so that means we need to cook the lunch, or we need to make sure we have the groceries for the lunch. We also have a unique thing where we make popsicles, so there might be we might need to get in and get into the garden to get the produce for those. Might have a new member orientation and need to do the work around helping orient a new person into the space. So we kind of have meetings to discuss the urgent work of the day, and each day can look a little bit different based on who shows up and what we need to do each day.
And Ben, take us through a day at Grand Avenue.
You know, it's always tough to say what an average day is because it's kind of different every single day. But I mean, the basic structure is we're probably about a mid-size clubhouse, you know, maybe 30 to 50 people every day. We have a total membership of about 2,200. It's unit work. So each unit has different responsibilities. We have an administrative unit that helps, you know, write grants and do our marketing, social media, newsletter and stuff like that. We have a culinary unit that cooks. We have breakfast and lunch every single day. We have a membership unit that helps, you know, schedule tours and orientations and all that stuff. And people are just kind of come when they become a member, they pick kind of a home unit and what they're interested in, where they want to help out, where they want to engage. And the unit work is just kind of whatever is needed that specific day. There's always cooking. There's always some stuff we got to do. But then, you know, throughout the year, there's different grants we have to write, or there's different, you know, we hold a lot of events. We have holiday parties and stuff. We're open on every major holiday. So, you know, certain times of the year, there's a lot of cooking and prep work, and we do art all the time. So certain days have rec days where we do a lot of art. So it really kind of varies, and it depends on how many people we have in the club, and we just kind of adapt every single day.
Kathy, I understand clubhouses often have a focus on work opportunities, employment opportunities for members. Is that something you work on at Chrysalis?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge part of what we think about at Chrysalis, and really every clubhouse has a focus on employment. That was kind of back to the roots of how clubhouse got started. And every clubhouse has what we call a TEP, a temporary employment position. And that's where the clubhouse itself has a relationship with an employer in the community. The clubhouse says, hey, you know, what's an entry-level job that you need done every day, or that you for sure need done at certain times of day, and we'll come in and do it. The key component of that, the TEP model, is that the staff and member actually work on the job together. Member gets paid by the employer. Staff ideally would kind of fade, you know, throughout the member learning that position. It's a temporary job, 6 to 9 months. Once that member has it down, the staff fades, and that's kind of the member's job that then passes to another member at the end of that time frame. A lot of times, you know, people coming in with maybe some employment struggles or gaps in resume, this can be a really great jump off point for what's next. Having a successful TE at a clubhouse can really launch someone's employment career or focus on what they might want to do for more permanent work. And then also folk come in who have employment, but maybe need help retaining that employment. That's something clubhouse communities do really well, and research does back that up to say, people coming in with a job can really get support from the clubhouse community and retaining that work, coming with issues around, you know, how do I talk to my boss about this? Or here's a coworker issue, or I want to go back to school to do something else.
Ben, anything to add on the employment topic?
Yeah, I loved what Kathy said. I would just, you know, say we take kind of a long-term approach. We kind of meet people wherever they're at. And, you know, according to NAMI, something like 80% of adults with serious mental illnesses are unemployed, but 67% of those people would like to work. And there's a lot of data showing that, you know, if you have the support in place, people can be much more successful at obtaining and retaining work. I mean, a big part of our employment program that's a little bit different is, as she mentioned, so the positions are kind of 6 to 9 month temporary ones. We work with them, and even if someone has a bad mental health day here at the club, all staff here are placement managers, will actually go fill a shift for somebody who can't make it that day. That gives the employer peace of mind, and also it gives kind of a safety net for the member. You know, a lot of folks with mental illness, what's difficult with their journey back to employment is they have one bad day and it derails everything. The clubhouse model kind of focuses on that long-term approach of like, all right, let's start somewhere. Let's get you some experience. Let's get you, you know, get a resume, get your confidence back up. You're now making some friends at the community. You have a bit of a social circle, and then we'll take it from there. We'll go from 5 hours to 10 hours to 20 hours, whatever the goal is. We just kind of support that and work with them and slowly take it at a time. And there's a lot of wraparound services. You know, we do mock interviews, help with resumes. We have a benefits specialist, which is a huge thing. For people who are returning to work who are afraid of losing their, you know, SSI or SSDI. So it's really kind of whatever you need to get back into employment. Employment's kind of the heart of the clubhouse model, but there's just a lot of other things around it than just working.
We're talking about the clubhouse model of mental health support. We've got Ben Holt with the Grand Avenue Club in Milwaukee, Kathy Ziegert with Chrysalis in Madison. I want to talk about the benefits of the clubhouse model. And I keep hearing when I talk to people of mental health, more and more interest in the benefits of social connection and peer support. Kathy, what do we know about the benefits of having those things, the social connection, the peer connection at a clubhouse? What do we know about the benefits?
Well, I think that, you know, clubhouses do really focus on meaning and purpose. And those two things really help people thrive instead of survive with living with a mental illness. So clubhouses are considered evidence-based practice. And that means it's backed by research. You know, the employment successes and job retentions are high. Hospitalizations and involvement with the criminal justice systems are often reduced. And reducing social isolation is really kind of where it's at.
And Ben, what do you see and hear from your members at Grand Avenue when it comes to social connection and peer connections?
It's a thing that I think is often overlooked, is the importance of that. It is really hard to go to work or go to school if you are isolating all the time. You know, you can maybe pull it off for a while, but at some point it's going to catch up to you. You know, and a lot of, you know, Grand Avenue Club's been around for over 30 years, and we have a lot of members who have been with us for 30 years. You know, there's many members here who come before or after work. Some people who haven't worked in a decade, and then they try a transitional employment or a temporary employment here, and it restarts their entire employment thing. And the thing that they always equate it to is that they have a support system. They come in here, they have friends, they have stuff to do. It's kind of, it's refilled that kind of internal purpose that translates into more sustained and retained employment.
Ben, I want to pick up on what you mentioned about helping other communities start clubhouses. If somebody's out there listening saying, yeah, we need this and we don't have it, what are the steps? What does it take to get something like this up and running?
So Clubhouse International actually has a whole document about how on their website about how to start a clubhouse. I mean, there's no one way to do it. You can kind of start basic, have a small team of staff, start a little employment program, you know, have a Grand Avenue Club started with a very, very small little building. And after, I think it was 6 or 7 years, you know, it really caught on. Milwaukee really, really needed this. And there was a couple funders who really, really appreciated what we did. And they helped us obtain a bigger location. And it just kind of grew from there.
And then, Kathy, can you talk to people who might be listening and thinking, hey, I could be a member of a local clubhouse organization, somebody who's dealt with mental health problems in the past. How would you encourage them to at least check it out?
Well, again, kind of Clubhouse International has a directory of clubhouses to see if you have one in your community. Like I said, in Wisconsin, we don't have as many, but we would like to grow that. And if somebody feels inspired to start one, Clubhouse Wisconsin's here to help and help direct towards resources.
Kathy, Ben, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Kathy Ziegert is the clubhouse supervisor at Chrysalis in Madison, and Ben Holt is associate director of the Grand Avenue Club in Milwaukee. They talked to us about the clubhouse model of mental health support. Recently, we asked you to share about the publishing industry and what it's like if you're an author to become a first-time author. We heard from Tammy in Central Wisconsin.
They self-published a historical novel called Waltraud. It's about their mother's life growing up in Germany during World War II under Nazi rule. Tammy says the book has been well-received at author events and signings.
Thank you, Tammy, for sharing with us about your writing accomplishment, and we want to hear from you about projects you're passionate about working on and where you're at in the process. Leave us a message or text us right now at 888-642-0232. You can also email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to WPR News.